The Alzheimer's Association International Conference is going on next week in Copenhagen. Researchers are presenting lots of new studies on how preventative treatments and lifestyle changes could affect rates of Alzheimer's disease in the United States.
Here to discuss some of the studies coming out this week is Carrie Patterson. She's the executive director of the South Central Wisconsin chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Carrie, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much. I wish I was in Copenhagen, but I'm happy to represent what we're doing there.
Great. Well, a lot of the research over there seems to be focused on prevention, studies showing the kinds of things that might help prevent Alzheimer's. Is this growing as a promising path for research?
Yes, absolutely. I think each year we're gaining insights through the Alzheimer's Association International Conference. This year it's going on through this Thursday in Copenhagen. And really what we're finding is when we combine all of these wonderful talents throughout the globe is the discussion is moving to earliest detection of signs and stages of this disease. A lot of that is coming through the formats of clinical biomarkers, imaging, types of imaging that we can see different markers with amyloid or different plaques and tangles in the brain and structure changes. And so we're hoping that since cognitive side effects are really kind of the last side effects that families notice, if we can start to see some of those biomarkers, we might be able to intervene sooner. So it's actually a pretty fascinating and exciting time for a disease that really has no cure or prevention at this point.
So that would be early detection part of it, finding those biomarkers.
Exactly. So far, we've had mostly very invasive types of biomarkers to detect Alzheimer's disease in its earliest stages. Those have relied on spinal fluid or advanced types of brain imaging. And now we're seeing highlights in the news of smell tests, eye tests, just these really simple things that could be a noticeable stage of risk assessment, which is a new topic for the field.
And it seems like some of the prevention is focusing on lifestyle changes. Headlines out saying, up to a third maybe of Alzheimer's cases might be preventable with things that we usually associate with heart health, exercise, better diet, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, all those things that your doctor was telling you to do to get out and get active and eat colorful fruits and vegetables, that's really been a huge interest in the field of Alzheimer's. So we've seen, how our whole systems really work together to help support us as we age in general. And we're seeing a lot of benefits from people who not only change their lifestyle and eating habits, but also incorporate some cognitive challenges as well. Learn a new language, play a puzzle or a game, and get social with their friends. Those are really some of the best learnings that we're finding in these new and exciting studies that have shown delaying onset of Alzheimer's disease. And maybe it could be a type of prevention.
So with a lot of research focused on prevention and early detection, it seems like there's good news along those lines. Is there a bad news side of this on continued difficulty finding treatments once we know someone has Alzheimer's?
Well, I don't think the field has really lost sight of trying to find new interventions. All of these studies are going to give us insights into the actual pathology and development of Alzheimer's disease. But I think what's really going to be exciting is that we might be able to try some of those new medications much sooner while the brain has more function in different kind of synapses still healthy and alive, where if we can identify some potential risks or triggers to the disease, there is a potential, just like a heart medicine or, a blood pressure medication, maybe there's a way we can intervene sooner to keep people healthy and vivacious.
Hmm. And that, along with the prevention angle, it sounds like if we start exercising, some of the research, I think from Finland, was looking at getting people into supervised exercise programs early on. So that's even before we're detecting Alzheimer's that we're doing this prevention.
Correct. Yeah. So they used a randomized trial. So one group of people went into a very structured routine and they were monitored fairly often. So it was not that they were self-reporting some of these events or exercise routines, but they were consistently monitored. And another group just had basically some education given to them without that kind of active participation module. And they were followed up over a few years, and that one group who really kind of had that major lifestyle change was seen to have some healthier cognition. Spinning that locally, the Alzheimer's Association actually just funded a like study to that here in the Madison community. So we're taking a global issue and actually making it a local participation as well.
Oh, so there will be research on people here in Wisconsin doing similar sorts of things?
There will be, and that's the best part about this international conference. We have many of our scientists with the UW and in Milwaukee. Many of them actually go and share some of their data. And one of the studies that we're excited about with the Alzheimer's Association are these health and lifestyle changes. We think those are real solutions that people are looking for ways to really kind of, if they have a family history, ways they can really identify a potential risk and turn it into a method of activism and taking control of your life personally and making some positive changes.
Well, it sounds like you could be teaming up on public health campaigns with heart health and cancer health groups, because a lot of the same behaviors have benefits in all those areas.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think the door's starting to open on this issue, and it's exciting to see what's going to happen.
You know, I think I have, and I probably share a misconception with a lot of people, that Alzheimer's is the dementia. That is the symptom. That is the disease. There's a lot more going on than just that, though, isn't there?
Sure, yeah, it's more than memory loss. You know, Alzheimer's disease really affects your independence, your ability to navigate in the community without having to rely on others. So it can be your judgment, your orientation. You can get confused and not be able to navigate to your home or to, you know, the shopping mall. We're seeing it affect younger people. So it's not just an 85-plus sort of a disease anymore. And the state is really taking notice in Wisconsin of this growing demographic of people who are experiencing cognitive challenges with dementias. You might recall in the spring we made a new law called the Silver Alert Bill, because people are still getting behind the wheel and driving and getting confused and disoriented. So it presents differently from person to person. So it's a very complex disorder, but Alzheimer's is far and wide the most common, about 70% of the cases of dementias after people are over the age of 65.
Now, despite the good news we've been talking about prevention, about early detection, a lot of people have Alzheimer's now. A lot of people will continue to develop it over the years. How are we doing in Wisconsin as far as helping them live as independent and fulfilled life as they possibly can?
Well, I think the Alzheimer's Association, we're in every county in the state. There's three chapters that cover the entire state. We're all working with caregivers, with persons with the disease, to make sure that we are really kind of engaging them, overcoming some of these social stigmas, getting people involved in caregiver classes and workshops and things like that to learn more about changes and kind of take some of that stress away as much as possible if we can educate some of the families going through this. And I think it shocks a lot of people. For example, our 2014 Alzheimer's Association Facts and Figures report that we put out every March, we know that about a third of the senior population is affected by some sort of dementia. So the fact that these families aren't getting access to services is quite astounding, but they feel like they really are in this by themselves. And when you're looking at a third of the population, and that actually increases to about 50% when people are over 85, there's a huge amount of families that are really affected by this. So we need to overcome and support those people who are in this battle.
What kind of help is out there for people in that family situation?
Sure. Well, the Alzheimer's Association is a great resource. We offer a 24/7 helpline that's staffed by medical professionals, social workers, or nurses. who can take a call and offer any sort of basic inquiry or question about Alzheimer's disease to really more of a case management or care consultation level of a call. So that's a free service that's available to everybody. The ALZ.org is our main website. We have a lot of great instruction videos, a sample of how to have a conversation about removing driving privileges, or how can we have some dialogue in the family about seeking a medical evaluation. We have samples conversations with that. I just did a program this morning on knowing the early warning signs of Alzheimer's disease. So often there can be other conditions that can cloud your cognitive performance, so we want to make sure it's really identified properly with a medical evaluation. And then we offer classes in our communities, those caregiving classes, access to resources. We also have another great social support site kind of for people who aren't willing to go to one of those caregiver groups called All's Connected. It's almost like a Facebook for Alzheimer's caregivers.
I'm going to jump in and we can get into that a little more. We're talking to Carrie Patterson of the Alzheimer's Association about some of the news coming out of the organization's international conference, including the news that lifestyle changes can help prevent future memory loss.
And we'd like to take your calls. Have you made any lifestyle changes to help prevent Alzheimer's? What are you doing to stave off memory loss? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Cynthia Schuster.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We'll continue the conversation after a look at the news here on Central Time.
We're continuing our conversation now with Carrie Patterson of the Alzheimer's Association about some of the latest Alzheimer's research.
And we want to hear from you. Have you made lifestyle changes to help prevent Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia? Have you experienced Alzheimer's in your life, in your family? Call, share your stories and experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Carrie, one recent headline that caught our eye, Alzheimer's rates seem to be going down in developed countries. They're attributing that to improved heart health. While the aging population means there are going to be more people with Alzheimer's, even though the rates are going down. Does that match up with what you're seeing?
Well, that was a new study that just came out, and certainly would be exciting if that were applicable to the entire globe. So the governments, I believe it was in Sweden and England, the Netherlands, and perhaps Germany, if I'm recalling correctly, they are seeing some prevention, certainly kind of better, more aggressive treatments for that heart health issue that we've been talking about so much in this program. But we're not quite sure if that is going to be a trend that is going to continue. Certainly rising obesity and diabetes could come into play. So the answer is we just don't quite know yet if that's going to really be more of an isolated issue or if that's going to be a trend within that one study group. Another segment of that question is we don't really know if lower and middle income countries will have the fastest decline as well, because those populations are really experiencing a boom in the aging community. So I think that's what's exciting about research. We've seen trends emerge when we do go after some of these other lifestyle factors where there is a potential where we could age with a better outcome with health, and maybe that will link to cognitive health. But again, that was one study that needs to be duplicated in more of a longitudinal mechanism. But overall, Alzheimer's disease, barring any sort of major prevention, will continue to grow quite rapidly. And we're looking at doubling in 20 years globally. So, right now it's still too early to say if that's really going to be a trend that will continue or not.
All right, we'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Robin on the line in Onalaska. Robin, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I've got a question. I've got a son who has Down syndrome, and I've been to many seminars and conferences. I've heard that the population of people with Down syndrome, if they live after a certain age will develop early onset Alzheimer's disease. And I've always wondered why here's a known population that will definitively have Alzheimer's, why there haven't been studies or some type of preventative medication, you know, researches that the new research comes out that they could be studied and see if what kind of effect it has on a known population.
Robin, thanks for that call and that question. Susan, Down syndrome and Alzheimer's, is that something you're familiar with?
Yeah, I mean, they have been involved in a lot of clinical research throughout the country. So Wisconsin doesn't have any study specific enrolling that population, but that doesn't mean it's not out there. So there is a site called clinicaltrials.gov that you can actually search for some of those keywords and find locations that are enrolling that population. But we know that some of the cognitive challenges that goes along with Down syndrome is definitely a risk for developing Alzheimer's disease in people's later years. Now that might manifest itself in this younger onset. So when we use younger onset, we're talking about a population that is younger than the age of 65. So sometimes they do have some challenges with Alzheimer's or another dementia, absolutely, and they are being studied. So I think you can rest assured that people are looking into that. But, yeah, definitely a great idea for further collaboration.
Robin, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Susan now in Madison. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on. Couple points. My father passed away with Alzheimer's a couple years ago, so I'm sort of always watching what's the latest. One thing I want to give a shout-out to the Alzheimer's Association in Madison, how wonderful and supportive they are to families. People should reach out to them. Second is there was a study I heard briefly about earlier this week in Sweden where they saw some bright dots in the eyes. They're doing some research. It's called beta amyloids that they found in the eyes that appear to be associated with Alzheimer's and maybe a breakthrough in determining whether someone is going to get it or not. Hmm. Have you heard anything about that?
Susan, thanks for that call. Is that one of those biomarkers you were talking about, Carrie, or is that one you've run across?
That is. You know, that just broke this week. So thank you so much for your encouragement there. That's one of those early risk factors that are so exciting to hear about this week. We learned about new smell tests, new eye exams. You know, so many of these families undergo challenges with getting that loved one into this full memory diagnostic evaluation. But people notice when their smell changes or their taste changes or balance changes. And eyesight is definitely one we want to pay attention to as well. So beta amyloid is one of those big biomarkers in the brain. It's really kind of a protein and another plaque substance that develop over time. And so we're starting to see some of these early screeners, which can be one of those things that might trigger a further evaluation and come from someone who's kind of less threatening, you know, your eye doctor. I think that's really exciting to see some initial findings on that.
Susan, thanks so much for that call and for bringing that up. And sorry for your loss, by the way. Carrie, Susan also put in a plug for the Alzheimer's Association. That reminded me, you were talking about kind of a Facebook for people, for families dealing with Alzheimer's?
Yeah, exactly. So in addition to our in-person caregiver groups in our community, we also have an online support system. You know, we Google things before we pick up a phone or set up a meeting so often. So on ALZ.org, there's a new service called All's Connected, which is a tool that family caregivers can communicate with others throughout the country. So if they have a question about mealtime or bathing or driving or safety, they can talk with other families and get some of those tools and techniques we would normally talk about in a support group. But people are more comfortable online, so we wanted to make sure we were there.
And you mentioned that you gave a talk just this morning on early warning signs of
yes.
Alzheimer's. What are a couple few things that people might be on the lookout for?
Sure. You know, anything something that's really starting to disrupt your day-to-day functioning, whether it's forgetting appointments or forgetting to send that birthday card, and doing that repeatedly, you know, outside of some of those senior moments, we all have lapses once in a while, but when it becomes more of a pattern, we really want to pay attention to that. Also, more complex planning or problem solving, it can be anything from making a familiar recipe to if you're that type of person who likes to tinker and take things apart, and if you can't put them back together again like you once were, that would be a real risk and warning sign for us. Getting lost, getting disoriented, starting to get scratches on the car or driving citations. Families might want to take note and see if that person is having a problem navigating. Word finding, speaking, writing, putting emails out there that just quite honestly don't make sense. These are all things that would make me raise my eyebrow if I were a family member. So it's more than just memory loss. Payments are another thing, your financial matters. So if you're overpaying invoices, you know, to the gas and electric company, or if you're missing bills, that can be a real sign to families. So we have our Know the 10 Signs on ALZ.org, or our staff can talk to you about those in more depth.
And just briefly, if you're seeing those signs, what's the first step?
Give us a call. 1-800-272-3900 is that helpline number. Or you can connect with your local chapter. We are in the Madison community as well. And our number is 203-8500. And we're happy to talk with you. I think it might not be Alzheimer's. It could be something else. And we can help strategize, learn more about your particular situation, and work with you on what's the appropriate next step.
Carrie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you.
That's Carrie Patterson, Executive Director of the South Central Wisconsin Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association.